from here. Don't go away when you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun? Now the show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Jim, look what I'm offering you. The greatest opportunity I've ever put your way. The chance to buy a piece of the finest British heavyweight boxer I've ever known. Look, Jim, just look at this photo of him.
Show me. No, I'm sorry. I just can't see any piece that I fancy. And for a boxer, isn't he a bit, well,
Oh. Oh, nonsense. A man is in his prime at 53. Jim, don't take my word about Joey Palmer. Have a look at his press cuttings. Look what this newspaper said about him the last time he won a fight. See?
You mean just under the headline, Bloody Old Flies Channel?
That's it. Now see what it says. Jim, it says, Joey Palmer scores magnificent knockout at Royal Albert Hall, scenes of wild excitement.
Show me that report. Oh, Bentley, he knocked out Dame Nellie Melba.
Well, it's not his fault if he turned up the wrong night. He was still giving away 2 stone. Jim, I tell you, this boy is the white hope of British boxing.
You certainly need one, but I'm sorry, Bentley. I just cannot bring myself to invest my hard-earned savings in a boxer who's knocking on 60.
Well, at least see him. He's only downstairs in my dressing room. Joey, here a minute, son. Now, look, I admit, Jim, I admit he's no oil painting, but all he claims to be is just a magnificent fighting machine. Oh, here he is.
Them stairs. There's 8 of them.
Yes, well, take it easy, Joey, now. Yeah. Lean on me a bit. Yeah, don't overdo it, boy.
Yeah. Might knock him down.
Yes. Joey. Joey, this is Mr. Edwards, who's interested in coming in on managing you.
Oh, hello, Mr. Edwards. Is your clock right?
I think so, yes. Why, yes.
I have to take me blue pill dead on the half hour. Otherwise, I'll get one of me churns.
Oh, let me help you open the tin. Look, Mr. Palmer, seriously, do you think it's wise to continue this strenuous form of livelihood at your age?
Wise? Look, sonny, I reckon I'm at my peak now. Never fought better. Never.
Really?
Yes, these new glasses made a world of difference.
And you see, Jim, not only confident, but trained to the last ounce. So lovely to see.
He can see his opponent now, can he?
Yeah. Here, let me give you a look at Joey's physique.
Like
the side of a mountain it is, yes. Joe, show him the body.
Hey.
Slip your cardigans off. That's it. There, Jim. Now, what do you think of that for a figure?
Well, frankly, Bentley, I've seen better shoulders on a banana. And why has he got the words Joey Palmer tattooed across his back?
Well, he can't afford a dressing gown. But we'll soon be back there in the big money, eh, Joey?
Yeah, you just give me the chance. I'll show that Gene Tunney.
Oh. Listen to him.
Gene Tunney retired donkey's years ago. Yes, that's right.
Really, Bentley, how much money are you expecting me to invest?
I've worked it out, Jim. To put this boy back in the ring, it'll need... just a minute.
Well?
Exactly 7 and 6 months.
7 and 6 months? That's a funny sum. What's that, the price of a death certificate?
No, Mr. Edwards, you see, the trouble is for the past 12 years I've been at a disadvantage.
Oh,
I've had to rely solely on my straight left, my left hook, and my left jab.
Oh.
With that 7 and 6, Mr. Edwards, I'll meet all comers on equal terms.
Well, why?
I can buy a glove for my right hand.
Barnyard is busy in the regular tizzy, and the obvious reason is because of the season.
Ma Nature's miracle with her yearly miracles.
Spring, spring, spring. All the hen folk are hatching while the men folk are scratching to ensure the survival of each brand new arrival.
Each nest is twittering, it's all babysittering.
Spring, spring, spring.
It's a beehive of budding sun and every family has plans in view.
Even down in the brook, the underwater light is forever blowing bubbles too. Every field wears a bonnet with some spring daisies on it. Even birds of a feather show their clothes off together.
Sun's getting shinery to spotlight the finery.
Spring, spring, spring. Yes, sirree, spring discloses that it's all one supposes.
It's a real bed of roses,
wagging tails,
rubbing noses.
Each day is Mother's Day, the next day some Mother's Day when love is king. Even old Papa Dragonfly is making his dragonfly spring.
Thank you, keynotes. And so to Type's topic of the week.
Well, this week, Type is inaugurating a new feature called Inventor's Corner. This will serve as a shop window for anybody with a new and worthwhile scientific discovery.
Such is our first invention. This is a brilliant device for measuring curved lines. It was brought along by Mr. Horace Whirlpool, whose job is making faces. He works in a watch factory.
Well, this is the device what I've invented. It measures a curved line.
What exactly is it, though?
It's a bent ruler.
A bent ruler?
I ought to put it in more scientific parlance. It's a straight ruler, what has got bent. I was trying to open a tin of humbugs for my lad, you know. Daddy said to me, I can see him now. Daddy said, Dad, I can't open my humbugs. They often can't, you know. They often, you know what kids are like.
Yes, I've seen several. This,
I don't want an empty answer,
it's
do you?
It's all right, though.
That's too clever with me, you know. I'm an inventor, and I'll invent a word for you in a minute.
I'm deeply sorry. Do you mind if I continue?
I don't care.
I'm bent as well. Now, this will measure any curved line?
Oh, no. Only a curved line that is curved in the same curve as the ruler is curved.
I see. But will you find many lines of that exact curvature?
Well, you will if you look. They won't come to you, you know. You have to keep your eyes open, you know. I found two this week. One on a litter basket in Richmond Park, and one on a menu holder in a cafe just outside Devizes. I measured both of them.
Thank you. Well, listeners, I don't think there's any doubt about the usefulness of this. It's bound to appeal to any manufacturer who's got a tin of humbugs with the lid of stock. Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, thank you. And no more funny business, you don't
mind. Thank you.
And now a lady inventor, Mrs. Bassett of Waukee, which is the other side of Torquay. She has invented a Flag Day chest deflector.
Yes. You see, the trouble is on Flag Days. When they sell you a flag, they pin it onto your clothing just over your chest. And there's ever the danger that the point of the pin will penetrate to your... If you'll pardon my bluntness, skin.
So, what is your invention, Mrs. Bassett?
Well, it's a strip of chain mail. You see, it measures 2 inches one way by 2 inches the other way, and, of course, vice versa, the other way up. Well, it's affixed to the, I hate to keep saying this, skin. You affix it with ordinary sticking plaster, and the pin is thus... deflected.
Well, now, listen, I think this is a brainwave. The whole thing only weighs about 18 and a half pounds. And mass-produced could easily sell for about 9 or 10 guineas. Good luck with your invention, Mrs. Bennett.
Thank you very much. Love.
Be smart, behave, my heart. Don't upset your cart when he's so close.
Be soft, be sweet, but be discreet. Don't go off your beat, she's too close for comfort.
Too close for comfort. Please, not again.
Too close to know just when to say when.
Be fair.
Be sharp.
Beware. On your guard. Take care. While there's such temptation.
One thing leads to another.
Too late to run for cover. You're much too close for comfort now. Say when.
Be firm.
Be sure. Beware. On your guard. Take care. While there's such temptation.
One thing leads to another.
Too late to run for cover. You're much too close for comfort now.
Too close.
Too close.
Mr. Clump, drink up. Seem very pleased with yourself tonight, Mr. Clump. Usually when you come here, you've got the miseries.
No, I left them at home on the sofa.
Oh.
If you wonder why am I spirited, Ted, I'll tell you why am I spirited, Ted. Look, you know my son, Ron.
Ron. Seem to remember him coming in here vaguely.
Yes, that's the way he comes in everywhere, yeah. Well, him and his fiancée, Eth, are engaged, you see.
Oh,
yeah. And for quite a few years now, Ron's been on at me to let him marry her. To which request I've always refused. On the ground of he's not in a financial position, you see.
Oh, how is he placed, then?
Frankly, Ted, he's not placed at all, Ted. Frankly, between you and me and that bottle of brown ale, he's not placed. Financially, he can't even get to the starting gate.
Oh.
Anyway, Ted, I've noticed him and Hef whispering together about this subject of marriage, but I paid little heed to it till last week I received this.
Cool. Strike me rotten. A summons.
Yes, Ted. A summons, Ted.
Oh.
And not the normal non-payment of rate summons that all self-respecting householders get this time of the year. Just listen to what this here summons says.
Ready.
Take notice that Ronald Crippin Glum has applied to this court for consent to his marriage on the grounds that you, being the person whose consent is required, have refused consent. You are entitled to appear and oppose the application, which will be heard on Friday at Abbotsbury Road Magistrates Court. Summons, Ted, by my own flesh and bone.
Oh, Mr. Glum.
Have you ever heard anything so shameful, so ignominious? Of course, I had to go. I shall never forget that Friday morning. Ron and Eth got to the court before me and waited on a bench in one of their anterooms.
His favourite punch, eh?
Then he's only got himself to blame. It's time he was told you're an adult now.
I have told him, Eth. I said quite firmly, look, Dad, you've got to realise I am now a grown-up adult with all an adult's desires and capabilities.
When did you tell him that?
When he was peeling the silver paper off my Easter egg board.
Well, if he's being told, then I've no sympathy for him at all. He brought the whole thing down on his own head, didn't he?
No, Ed. He brought it down on my head.
Not the Easter egg, Ron. The summons.
The summons.
That's why we've got to win this case. Now, before we go into court, beloved, are you sure you've got all the facts at your fingertips?
Yes, Eth.
All your arguments properly marshalled?
Yes, Eth.
No last-minute legal point you want cleared up?
Well, just one, eh?
Oh, yes, Ron.
What exactly are they charging me with?
They're not charging you with anything, Ron. They're not charging anyone with anything.
Then what are we doing here?
We are here to prove to the magistrate that there's no reason why we shouldn't get married.
Oh.
Look, Ron. Look, would it help you if we had a little rehearsal?
Oh, yes, Eth.
Oh, no, Ron, I didn't mean
Go on,
that.
Eth, just a kiss. Oh,
no, Ron, not here. It's contempt of court.
Well,
we mustn't.
Might as well get caught.
Hello, hello, hello. Well, what a touching picture. Oh, dear. Like a scene from a fairy tale. The two little ill-treated Ard Dunbars, Anful and Grapple. Paddling away in the corner from the cruel old father.
Mr. Glum, there is no call for you to take that attitude. I didn't ask for acrimony.
And even if you did, you wouldn't get a penny. Oh, when I think how I've treated you like one of the family, when there weren't enough pilchards to go round. Who was it went without so that Eth could have some? Who was it?
The cat.
Well, who fought the cat to get him off the saucer? And this is how you repay my hospitality. Very well. We'll see on whose side the sympathy of the law lays.
All right, we're ready for the next case. Call Ronald Glum.
Ronald Glum!
Ron, he wants us. That's... We've got to go into the court. Yes, come on, beloved.
Yes.
Through here, please.
All right. Just take a seat. The old boy's on your case now.
Take the matter of the Glum application for marriage consent next. Is either of the parents present?
Yes, me lad. I am me lad.
Mr. Glum, may I point out I am not me lad.
You're not? Oh, dear. Well, he won't half catch it, mate, if he comes in and finds you sitting in the chair. You're half out of it, Scarper.
No, Mr. Glum, I am a magistrate. You will therefore address me as your worship.
Oh, sorry, I crave the court's indulgence.
Please sit down.
Now, look
sit
here.
Sit down, Mr. Glum.
All right. And they call this justice. Come.
I would like to hear from the applicant for consent.
Ron, that's you.
What is it?
The magistrate. He wants to hear from you.
Oh. Hello, your worship.
Oh, Ron, you must step into that sort of booth there.
Just over here, Mr. Glum. Now, will you take this card, raise your right hand, and read what it says?
Oh, how?
Well?
I've read them, your worship. What do I do now?
You're supposed to read them out loud. Read them out loud.
Right. Printed by the Hoxton Press, London, B1.
The other side of the card. Read the other side of the card.
Look, oh. Mr. Usher, as this is an informal domestic matter, I think we can dispense with the swearing.
He wasn't swearing, sir. He's trying to help me. He said to...
Your worship! Your worship, may I be permitted to ejaculate an interception at this juncture?
What is it, Mr. Glum?
I would like the court permission to call a qualified handwriting expert.
Handwriting expert?
I can't read me notes. I had some margarine sandwiches in the briefcase and all the paper's gone all transparent.
Mr. Glum, you must not keep on interrupting. Although this hearing is informal, this is not the Four Ale Bar.
And more's a pity.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, nothing.
Your worship, may I say that Mr. Glum is always browbeating like that?
Oh, like
he won't listen, your worship.
Shut up.
What reason can he possibly have for not letting us get married?
Because you went and summoned me, that's what reason.
But Mr. Glum...
Besides, what you going to live on? Don't think you're coming to stay with us. I can tell you that. There's not going to be three of us borrowing off Mrs. Glum.
Your worship.
Yes?
May I ask a question?
Certainly you may. In fact, you're the one we're most anxious to hear from. What is it you want to know?
Do you think it's all right if I put my right hand down now?
Young man, your father has made what appears to be rather a valid point.
Ah.
Do you understand what your being married entails?
No, I understood what I'm being married in a blue suit.
I'm referring to your earning capacity.
Oh,
what are you going to start married life on? Has either of you any kind of a nest egg?
I haven't, sir. I haven't even got an Easter egg.
Your worship, may I say that as it happens, I have got a nest egg.
You have what, sir?
I've managed to save a sum, Your Worship. Over the last 5 years, I've secretly saved up approximately £20.11.
Well, why wasn't I informed of this 20 nicker?
Mr. Glum, you seem to look on this whole matter merely insofar as it affects you. My concern is for these two young people and their happiness.
Well, what's happiness got to do with it? We're talking about marriage.
Mr. Glum, I've just about reached the end of my tether.
I don't care.
I am going to grant the court's consent to this marriage. Ronald Crippin Glum.
Wake up.
I hereby swear to tell the whole truth and nothing
but... No, beloved, that's all finished with. Fine. Your worship wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
Ronald Clippery Crippin Glum.
Get it right, mate, get it right.
Crippin' Glum. By powers vested in me under the Guardianship of Infants Act 1925, I have pleasure in granting consent to your marriage.
Treachery!
Oh, nothing can stop us getting married now. We've got the permission and we've got the money.
Oh, eh?
I protest. Your worship, I most heartily protest. I shall lodge an objection with the stewards.
Mr. Glum, don't be a bad loser.
Who's a bad loser?
Yes, well, if you go on like that, the magistrate will have you for contempt of court.
Contempt of...
Yes.
Wait a minute now. What did it say about contempt of court in my sixpenny law book? Oh, yes. Aha, Ron, my fine, clever son. I'm not done yet.
What do you mean?
Just let me have another word with your worship. Hey, sloppy chops! Sloppy chops!
If you're addressing me, Mr. Glum, I warn you, I shall hold you in contempt.
Not more contempt than what I hold you in, you bald-headed old barrister!
That does it. Stand up, sir.
Yeah?
I hereby find you guilty of gross contempt of court. And do you know what the fine for that is?
As it happens, I do know, yes, £20.
Exactly. And if you haven't got it, you will go to prison.
Well, I haven't got it. So, Mr. Jailer, get your keys ready. Take me away and put me in your cold, cold, dark old dungeon.
Now, Jailer, now. Here, don't let them send my dad to the nick.
I've got to go. I should go to jail loaded with chains. They haven't got many chains there. I haven't got £20 to pay no contempt of court fund. I don't know anybody who has.
Wait a minute, Dad. Ed's got £20.
Ed has?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I've quite forgotten. Still, I can't ask her to spend all her marriage savings on keeping her future father-in-law out of prison, can I?
You know jolly well that you can, and I will. There's no alternative for me. I've got to. Here, Your Worship, take it. My £20 savings.
Oh, I never expected you to do that. I would like to make an equally noble gesture. You now have my full consent to marry my baby boy.
But, Mr. Glum, what's the use of it now? Now you've had my savings, we're not able to get married.
Oh, yes. Oh, dear, funny how things turn out, isn't it, Dad?
Harry Rabinowitz and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Herbert Mustin and the keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton read the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...